I gave this platform to God, okay? I'm on a very specific mission.
We have to identify who the real enemy is. We have to know, where does this infiltration come from? The American people need a warrior that's unafraid to point out the real enemy. The American people are deserving of truth, exposure, and extreme accountability for the crimes against humanity that are being committed. We're on the brink of the complete collapse of America, while at the same time at the precipice of an amazing victory. If we want to prevent our children from facing a future bloodbath, I mean, I'm talking mass amounts of bloodshed, we need to step up and fight this war, and we need to fight it now. Uncensored.
I refuse to be silenced or muzzled.
Unafraid.
No man will intimidate me.
Unstoppable.
So reports out of Kiev, Ukraine say that more than 40 people were killed and over 100 more were injured when what we're being told was a massive Russian missile strike on Ukraine's capital city, affecting areas like, of course, a children's hospital and other locations. Now, Russia has very quickly denied responsibility for the attack. Claims are surfacing, in fact, that NATO and Ukraine are very much behind this, just like they were the Nord Stream pipeline attack, and that this attack on civilian targets in Kiev is effectively a false flag meant to give NATO the justification that it needs to continue backing Ukraine and marching us all toward World War III. Sounds like a pretty logical conclusion. Because, yeah, NATO and Ukraine and the United States, they have been lying to us about this war from the very beginning, over and over again. Maternity ward bombings, the ghost of Kiev, they were caught lying about the Nord Stream bombing. They tried to tell us that Russia blew up their own pipeline to punish the Europeans. So why wouldn't they try to tell us that this attack on civilians in Ukraine was the Russians, when really it was friendly fire? Take a look at this video. We'll talk about the inconsistencies of that Russia missile strike in just a moment, but Russia's Ministry of Defense denied any involvement in this attack in a statement made to Telegram, saying, quote, "Statements by representatives of the Kiev regime about an allegedly intentional missile strike by Russia on civilian targets are absolutely untrue," end quote. And for their part, of course, the Ukrainians are playing this up massively. They're releasing all kinds of grisly statements about patients who were in the middle of surgeries when these missiles struck. They've released pictures of severely wounded children. They're taking full advantage of this event, of course, to gin up the sympathy for Ukraine, to keep the United States taxpayer funding funneling into Ukraine to fight this proxy war against Russia in this made-up country from 1991. Oh, and you know, conveniently, this missile strike comes as NATO convenes for a summit on the issue of Ukraine. So yeah, very convenient timing. It gives NATO the pretext to go into this summit and claim that Ukraine still needs our help and that we need to send even more weapons and send even more money. We may even need to send men to Ukraine. Anything to stop the big bad Russian war machine from rolling in and knocking down this Sorosian house of cards that has put the entire world on the brink of destruction. And don't think for even a minute that the Biden regime wouldn't love to go to war in Ukraine. They need an emergency in Ukraine to take the Americans' eyes off of Biden's health and off of his struggles on the campaign trail. They would love nothing more than to tell the American people that the Russians have started slaughtering Ukrainian civilians and that U.S. troops have to be sent in to stop them. And that in the process, they have to cancel the 2024 election because going to war with Russia means triggering a nuclear response, which would obviously be the entire point. This is all a real possibility. NATO, especially the United States, is looking to double down on Ukraine just when everyone thought that they were letting off the gas. They're ready to redouble their efforts, and the NATO summit coinciding with the supposed attack on Kiev gives them the perfect opportunity and justification to do so. That's their mindset. This Pentagon press secretary and NATO lackey, Air Force Major General Pat Ryder, demonstrated this after this alleged Russian attack, telling the press that, quote, "I think what you'll see coming out of the summit this week is a demonstration of the strength, unity, and resolve of the NATO alliance, particularly as it applies to assisting Ukraine in terms of enabling them to defend themselves and their sovereignty." This is the most scripted fake war in world history. And once again, what we're seeing out of Ukraine looks like it's anything but legitimate. How long did NATO and Zelensky spend preparing for this attack? How long did they stare at that children's hospital on a map before they decided to blow it off the face of the earth? This entire situation looks like it was orchestrated. The media was on standby. The cameras were ready to roll. NATO was ready to convene. And the Ukrainians were ready to do as much kvetching as they possibly could so that they could stand there with their hand out once again. And even if, and it's a big if, Russia was behind this attack, Ukraine and the United States have been egging them on for months. Joe Biden ordered the Ukrainians to start launching attacks within Russia's borders because he wanted something like this to happen. He was hoping that there would be a counterstrike and that a bunch of civilians would be killed. This is a war of NATO-Ukrainian aggression, and it always has been. Either way you cut it, this attack is exactly what Ukraine and exactly what NATO asked for. Peter Quinones has been following the situation very closely, and he joins us now to share more. While we were in the green room, you were talking about other inconsistencies as it relates to the missile itself that was used in this attack.
Within hours, we had video of a missile hitting the, or we're being told that that's what hit the hospital, the children's hospital, an oncology ward of some sort. I mean, they just play it up as much as they can. And they already knew that it was a Russian KH-101 missile. What people who investigate lies on the internet immediately said was, okay, you're going to show us this footage. Why don't you at least Photoshop it to make the head of the missile round, like the Russian KH-101, and not pointy, like the Patriot PAC-3 or the U.S.-Italian S-Speed, which we know that the United States has given to Ukraine. Basically, Dmitry Peskov came out. He's Putin's press secretary. Doesn't say anything without Sergey Lavrov's go. He said it was the Ukrainian air defense is probably one of their missiles, went off course, hit one of their. It's just another deflection. Possibly now there is the chance that they did this on purpose. Who would put it past them on the night before NATO is set to convene? We know that the biggest fear they have with Trump getting elected is that Trump will end this war in Ukraine. We know that if Trump would have got elected in 2020, which he was, that this war would have never happened. We know that probably you wouldn't have had the Hamas incursion into, you wouldn't have had that false flag into Israel. So what we're looking at here is we're just looking at more of the Zionist-led, Zionist-occupied government lies using anything they can. You know, let's remember, last Christmas Eve, Ukraine shot a missile into Donetsk, hit a hospital filled with Russians. This is literally what they always do, accuse everyone else of doing what they do.
Well, and don't forget who was dancing on 9/11 as planes flew into a building in the largest attack on an American city that we've ever seen. And by the way, 3,000 some odd people died in that. How many people are now dead in Gaza?
Well, I've seen numbers. I saw this 186,000, upwards 190,000 number come up. And although it does seem rather high for people who've studied how many people can be killed in an urban area during a war, it's closer to reality than what Israel will tell you. And if it is, let's meet it in the middle. Let's get close to the middle. Call it 100,000.
Do you think
100,000?
Yeah, 100,000 people. Right. It's absolutely insane. And they're not even trying to deny it. They are posting their war crimes in video format to the official Israeli handle on X. You want to talk about violence being portrayed on a platform, not something that Lucas Gage said about some rabbi that said that Jewishness was a poison, and accurately so, because it is a poison. And this poison does need to be rooted out. And then people are saying that he incited violence and they kick him off the platform. That's not violence inciting. He never said go and kill Jews. He never said go and kill Israelis. He never said go pick up a sword and go pick up a gun or go. He never gave instructions to anybody to do anything. He just said that we need to get rid of, we need to root out, we need to move away from these isms. He is saying that we need to obliterate an ideology. It has nothing to do with bringing physical harm to people like the Israelis are actually doing in Gaza as they kill innocent women and children. And do you believe that the Hamas attack on October 7th was perpetrated by Israel? Do you think that Israel did that to themselves? I do. Do you?
I don't know if they did or not. I haven't looked at enough into the evidence of that, but it definitely is clear that that border, well, that fence, that section of that fence was considered to be the most well-guarded place in the world.
One of the most fortified borders on the face of planet Earth is Israel's borders, and then plus the Iron Dome on top of that.
Yeah, and they sell that technology, which is supposed to protect that area of the fence, to other countries, saying, oh, it's the greatest. And other countries are like, yeah, we do really well. So I think a stand-down order happened. I think it was a response to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the flooding people into it, flooding what were kibbutzniks into it, who are the most violent people on that whole, settlers, the most violent people in Israel, the most psychotic people in Israel. I just don't see how we can watch as people call Putin bloodthirsty. Putin has people killed when Zionist Jews have orchestrated the death of over 500,000 people between Ukraine and Gaza, and it may be more than that, in the last 2 years.
For the exact same reasons that they know they're in trouble if Trump gets elected, they know they're in trouble if Putin remains in power, which is why they want regime change there. And the Rothschilds will fund it.
Yeah, and they hate Putin, but remember this too. When it comes to the history of the pogroms, these alleged pogroms that happened in Russia, I've reported on these pogroms that they were revolutionary Jewish violence. And then when Russians fought back, oh, we're being pogromed. They blame the Russian people for these pogroms. As much as they blame the leadership, they blame the Russian people, because a lot of times the leadership would be like, no, don't, you know, back off, let them do what they're doing, we'll take care of it. And the people would rush in there and they would stop the violence. So they blame the Russian people. I've said very clearly that Jews are sitting back and taking such joy in watching Christians from one country and Christians from another, who are basically related by blood, kill each other. This to them is, this is something that they will celebrate in a hundred years if they're still a ethnic group, a tight-knit ethnic group. They will have a holiday celebrating this because it's their dream. It's what they've been dreaming about for 100 years. It's what they've been dreaming about for since the Khmelnytsky uprising, even before that.
Congress has the power to declare war. They haven't done that. So how are the congressional purse strings open to continue to fund these proxy wars?
Well, we know who controls Congress. We know who controls all of Washington, D.C. When you see everybody except Thomas Massie, including Rand Paul and people like that, take votes to condemn anti-Semitism, but they won't. But that's the only quote unquote hate that they'll condemn as an ideology, some kind of abstract thought. We know who runs the show. When you can't get a government contract in Texas unless you say that the boycott, divest, and sanction movement against Israel is immoral and that you don't support it, you know who runs this country. So I don't think it even matters anymore if Congress is for this war. They're going to get their money somehow. The CIA has their own money printer. They can create their own money. So this can just keep going on and on. And even if Trump gets elected, it can keep going on and on with American funding, unless, you know, things like these things that they're so scared of, Project 2025, comes in there and cleans everything out, clears them all out, and you put your friends in there. You put your people in there. If you were buying a company and the company you're buying was terrible in the past and had terrible employees, you would fire all of them and bring your own people in. That's what the next president has to do. That's what the next Republican president has to do. I think it's going to be Trump. The question is he going to do it?
Good question. Remains to be seen. There's a lot of really questionable circumstances surrounding that as well. We know who was in his orbit and still remains in his orbit. We know who was in the inner circles of the campaign as well as the administration. We know about the subversives that were in there between Jared Kushner and people like Reince Priebus, who intentionally ran that administration into the ground. We see who's still around Donald Trump at Bedminster, at Mar-a-Lago. We see the trips that he took with the embarrassingly tiny hat and the humiliation ritual of kissing the wall. Seems to be that he has the same paymasters. So I'm not going to get my hopes up or hold my breath, but you never know. This could be 7D chess. Peter Kanunis, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
This is getting out of control. Our government is sinking $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. That's right, $1 trillion every 100 days. Do you want to bail the government out of debt? Yeah, no, I don't think so. You see, when people worry about the national debt, they often turn to safe haven assets. That's why thousands of people have called GoldCo, the number one rated gold company, so that they can diversify their money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. Today, GoldCo is offering fans of this show up to 10% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Just call them, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. Free bonus silver, a half-ounce silver coin, free gold and silver information kit. What are you waiting for? Safeguard your money with physical gold and silver, just like I did with GoldCo. Call 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. Or just visit them online at StuLikesGold.com. Again, that's StuLikesGold.com.
What are you doing today to refocus, realign your investments so that it matches your ethics, your American Christian-based value views? At Cortez Wealth Management, we want to create a solution that we can avoid the CBDC, can help you with your retirement, get you a reasonable rate of return, not fund China or any other communistic countries, and number five, work with a God-fearing fiduciary that has your best interest and that we can honor God, country, and family.
A message for parents that love their kids and, of course, want to keep them safe and healthy. It's a health product that you can't ignore. Kids Z-Spike gummies from the Zelenko Labs Z-Stack supplement line. Now, these aren't just ordinary supplements. These are your child's shield against upcoming health threats and a recovery mechanism to help dissolve and block spike proteins. Of course, inspired by the legendary Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. Dr. Z didn't just practice medicine. As you well know, he changed the entire game over the pandemic. He provided counsel on the prevention and treatment of COVID-19, the bioweapon, and the removal of the dangerous and deadly spike proteins from the body. His pioneering work lives on in these gummies, crafted to repair and empower your kids' immune systems. Powerful stuff inside of these things, all based on solid research that you can trust by Zelenko Labs. Vitamin C and dandelion root. These help to cleanse and fortify. Of course, there's a whole lot of other things inside of these Z-Spike gummies as well. Pomegranate peel and bromelain arm and defend against these invaders like the spike proteins that are wishing to enter your kid's body and destroy their health. Targeting those tricky spike proteins is difficult, but not if you have the Z-Spike gummies. All natural, zero artificial junk, low in sugar, and a strawberry flavor that your kids will actually want. This is about more than just avoiding colds. This is about giving your kids a proactive protection and repairing them from damage caused during the pandemic. As we know that there's shedding involved, and parents, they didn't leave you out. You can achieve the same goals for your health and body, pairing Dr. Zelenko's hero products, Z-Spike and Z-Detox, for daily support. Rise up and protect your kids with Dr. Zelenko's Kids Z-Spike Gummies, perfect for kids ages 4 and up. Head over to zstacklife.com/SPN and then use the code for 15% off. The code is SPN. Secure your bottles right now. They have subscriptions, too. Remember, this isn't just a supplement. It's a shield. It's Dr. Zelenko's legacy. Shield up with Kids Z-Spike Gummies, the smart way to protect and heal our kids. ZStackLife.com/SPN. Again, ZStackLife.com/SPN.